Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Accomplishment, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted failure, so here I am. You were looking for intelligence, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted fools, so here I am. Thank you, God, for love I don't. And thank you, God, for love I did not earn. So here I am. You were looking for good citizens, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted prisoners, so here I am. If you were looking for a faithful man, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted doubters, so here I am. Thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I did not earn. If you were looking for a righteous man, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted sinners, so here I am. If you were looking for a worthy man, then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted me, so here I am. And thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I did not earn. Thank you, God, for love I don't deserve. And thank you, God, for love I did not earn.
Someday I'll find that you've given up. Run out of love, run out of patience with myself. You made a mistake with the price that you've paid. You're moving on to someone else. Never stops. No. to talk, but you think that I suck, and I should shape up. Is your bottom line? No, you chose me.
Y'all don't have to clap for that. I don't need all that clapping. I tell you a story. When it comes to preaching about lust, this is my least favorite thing to preach about in the world. Because we all already know the answer, which is don't. And number two, lust was my main problem. Okay? I'm going to put that out at the beginning. And lust, I have allowed lust to ruin relationships. You understand what I'm saying? I remember once I dated this gal, went out on a date, this is before I met my wife, went out on a date. And she said, this is what she said: I hope if we ever stop dating that we could always remain friends. And I had this flashback in my mind of every breakup I have ever had. And someone was screaming, clothes are being thrown out a window. I have come home to find my stuff on fire. Do you understand what I'm saying? On fire. Literally flames arising from my belongings because I have cheated on this woman and she found out. You understand? I have done this wrong every different which way. When I finally did meet my wife, I realized I will destroy this relationship with my foolishness and my nonsense, and I have to figure out something different. So it starts here. Here's a Bible verse on this. God wants you to be made holy. Okay, easy. That's fine. No worries there. He wants you to stay away from sexual sins. Well, that was my whole problem all along. He wants all of you to learn to control your bodies. Oh, good luck. You must live in a way that is holy. Sure, of course, you must live with honor. Now, that's a good idea. Don't long to commit sexual sins like those who don't know God. Somebody tell, don't go past it. I'm trying to preach on what's on the screen. This is what I'm saying. Somebody tell me how to do this right here. Because I have no idea how to do the things on this screen here. And that's what I want us to talk about today is how on earth are we going to live by this? Because this is God giving us the instruction. This is not the optional part of the Bible where you do whatever you want with it. This is the where he's handing out commands and telling you how it goes. And I think the first thing we have to ask is, what is it that you're using sex for? What are you using sex for? Somebody said, just feel good, you know. Okay, but it doesn't quite work that way. You know, when I finally committed myself to the relationship I have now, where I have a wife and we share that physical intimacy with each other, there's a bond to that. And there's an intimacy that's created within that that's unlike anything I've ever experienced in the world. Now, you talk to single people, young people, going to the club, etc., they will tell you the most exciting and amazing thing in the world is to have sex with a stranger. Some of us who have had sex with a stranger are laughing now because, you know, that's definitely not how that goes down. Some of us have been spinning that wheel to see what we're going to wake up with, you know, and what... This is not as good as it gets. This is us choosing, and I was doing this. I'm pointing the finger at myself here, understand? I was choosing on purpose to settle for second best, or third best, or fourth best. I was choosing not to have a meaningful, important, fulfilling relationship with a wonderful sex life. I was choosing something less than that, something cheap, something that was off to the side, something that had no feelings to it, and it wasn't fulfilling to me, and it wasn't satisfying because I kept chasing it. I kept trying to do something with it to get it to some sort of place, and I was settling for that second best, and I'll tell you why. Again, I'm talking about me now. It's because I didn't think I could keep a good woman. I didn't think I could treat a woman the right way, a good woman, the right way, long enough for her to stick around. So I had this mentality, okay, I'm just going to do this and try and make a way for it to be good and happy within what I'm going to settle. There's no way to win this game. Y'all follow what I'm saying? There's no way to follow this game. And it's a curse to live in a world where you're never quite satisfied. Some of y'all have been addicted to a drug, and you know, it's like you're chasing that first high, and you can't quite catch it. There's an agony to that. There's a pain to that. It's a curse to be caught up in that, to try and chase that. Some people do that with money. They lust after money, and that's what they want, and they chase that. Some people, it's power. They want to call shots. They want to be on the block, or they want to be a CEO or whatever it is. It's all the same. They say, if I just had this, I'd be satisfied. And they're not pursuing quality relationships with God, and they're not pursuing quality relationships with a godly person that they can share their life with. They're settling for these things. See, lust is the idea that a thing can make you happy. Sex, money, drugs, cars, clothes. If those things would make people happy, boy, you'd buy it and say, well, I'm through and I'm gonna retire. Doesn't work that way. You got to get, this is good, but if I had a little more, then that'd be a little better. And you get a little more, and you say, well, if I just had a little more than this, then maybe I'd be, I have this woman, and that's good, but then there's another woman. I could have two women. That'd be great. I would see, maybe I could have three women. This is a golden age that will never end, and there'll probably be no negative consequences to these behaviors of mine. But we're settling this whole time. We're settling all this time. We don't think that we deserve good relationships. If you thought you deserved a good relationship, you'd go find a good woman, you'd be right to her, and that would be it. I wouldn't have to preach you any kind of sermon on any of this stuff. If you don't think you deserve a good relationship, if you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm not a good man, I haven't lived a good life, and I let myself down, let everybody else around me down, and no good woman would want me. If you say that to yourself, then you have cursed yourself. You've doomed yourself to live in that world, and you have all the choices that you make along that line of thinking are going to put you in a life where you're never satisfied. You never have anything real and meaningful. And when someone good and real and meaningful comes into your life, and she's there and she's treating you good and she's nice and she's expecting a little more of you than these other gals, and you get that, you look at it and say, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And maybe sometimes we cheat on that girl because we think she's going to break up with me any minute now. I need to have another one on the line there. Maybe we look at that gal and say, you know, she's going to find out who I am eventually, and she's going to cut me loose. All of this can't be made to work. Here's what I want for you. This is my little case. I'm making my case tonight. I want you to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I've made my mistakes. I've done my wrong behaviors, but at the end of the day, God has forgiven me. I need to forgive myself, and I need to start over right here, right now. I can be good to a woman. I can be good to myself. I can be good to the folks at church. I can be a good employee. I can do that. Those things won't kill me. That's not impossible for me to do. My past does not impart something on my future that makes it go that way. You choose how it's going to be, and God will strengthen you on that path. Amen?
Amen.
Now, here's what I'm saying. The Bible says if we're going to do this thing where we're going to have a relationship with a member of the opposite sex, the Bible talks about it in very specific terms. I want to leave you with this thought, okay? The Greeks, they had a bunch of different words for love. You know, when we talk about love, it's just one word, love. You know, you love your friends, you love the bulls, you love your woman. You use the same word for all of those things. The Greeks had different words for all those different kinds of love. Now, the love between a man and a woman, they called that eros. If you ever heard the word erotic, that's where that comes from. There's a love between a man and a woman. That word's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. There is another word that we translate into the English word love that's in the Bible. That's agape. Okay, agape is the love between man and God. Agape is a love that God gives us, puts it in our heart. Okay, now I'm going to tell you that story. Now I'm going to read you this verse. Husbands, love your wives. Love them just as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her. He did it to make her holy. He made her clean by washing her with water and the word. Husbands, love your wives. Agape. Take the love that God gives you and give that to your lady. That's what that verse is saying. You can do that. You can do that. God is not saying you need to be the world's most amazing husband and you just have to jump from where you are, jacked up and tore up, and suddenly be the world's most churchy, put together man in the world. He's not saying that. He's saying take the love that I put in your heart and show that. Love them just as Christ loved the church. Receive what God's given you and project that out. And believe me, these relationships will transform, and you'll be glad that you gave all of that love and all that attention to that woman, and you didn't let lust sabotage that. Amen?
Amen.
We love you. God bless you. Y'all welcome back to Deborah. Let's hear it.